ethics of science and choosing a method with which the question can be answered. Now, when doing a research plan, one obviously looks into the whole process and during the planning process, one needs to have an idea of the method when formulating the question. But assuming that we have a question and then after that we would like to look into what sorts of methods are available and choosing among those, some issues may arise. Well, first of all, many areas have some conventions regarding methods that are, so to speak, usable in that field. The scientific method is such that it evolves. New methods are invented. Methods are borrowed from neighboring field. They are adapted to new fields, and one could find oneself in a situation where traditionally in one's own field a method has not been used, but it could be useful, and there might be some friction as to whether the specific method is acceptable within one's field, especially if there's no tradition, the community has not used to using some specific method. So an individual scientist or research group might actually have to see whether the method is applicable, and they might have to come up with an argument why that method is usable. So one might end up doing some methodological work. One should be careful not to be insensitive in this sense. Now, when introducing new methods, the ethical issues might need to be re-evaluated, because untested methods or previously unused methods in a field might have issues that are not traditionally recognized within the field. Well, if I give you an example on what sorts of things might turn out, let's say that the research is done in considering legal profession, and let's say that it's about jurisprudence. Now, let's assume that within that field, it is not customary to do interviews, and it's not customary to conduct research by interviewing relevant agents. And let's assume further that a researcher wishes to broaden the spectrum of available methods by using the interview method to gain knowledge about how, let's say, law is enforced in practice. The individual researcher then needs to be aware of the limitations and possibilities of the interviewing method, and also needs to relate the gained knowledge type to the knowledge type that is customary in that field. And it could be the case that the discipline isn't that open-minded that it would accept knowledge gained by interviews, and one could see that the scientist then would be in an impasse of pondering on whether the new method is actually usable and whether to introduce that method to the field and so forth. The problem might be such that interview as a method is seen as unreliable source of information in a field that considers factual and legal documents the main source of information. Okay, moving on. A competent scientist must understand methods. Now, oftentimes, method is seen a tool that just needs to be used. I think that there is a problem if one looks into looks at methods just as neutral tools that need not to be understood. Now, taking an analogical example from the outside field of science, for most car drivers, it's not important to know all the inner workings of a car in order to drive the car. And it seems that sometimes people look into methods in a similar way, so that they don't need to understand the methods and how they work. But I think that this is a mistake. I think that methodologically a scientist ought to be competent and being able to realize the validity and reliability of a method. So this takes us to understanding theoretical underpinnings of a method, how the method delivers the information. And in the very deep end, one needs to be sensitive to the philosophical or methodological assumptions that are underlying a method. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody within the field of science, they start looking into philosophy and doing research on methodology, but one ought to have some sort of sensitivity towards the possibilities and limits of methods. That is, one ought to be knowledgeable about methodology. Now, in general, when choosing a method, it depends on the discipline what sorts of questions might arise. Now, when using humans or animals or living organisms or tissues, there's always an ethical dimension. One needs to ask questions, how can we use animals, if at all? How do we take into account humans and their use in the research? In many fields, in human sciences and social sciences, questions rise when choosing a method where the scientists participate in the lives of the research subject, and there are knowledge issues that might rise. Can one be objective when participating into action? Does the scientist have a right to interfere with the lives of the research subjects? Can the scientist intervene in some way? Can we set up certain research design where we change something in the lives of people in order to investigate what happens and what are the limitations and possibilities of that kind of research. Taking into account environment, let's say in biology, is there a risk when doing genetic research that we somehow interfere with the environment? One should also take the non-living environment into account. We cannot interfere with, a mountain that is important to somebody by, you know, mining the mountain without repercussions, or taking into account the consequences of the research and so forth. One need to also be aware of the needed equipment and what it takes to get those equipments, what consequences using the equipment has, and so forth. Okay, many questions relating to methods, and one ought to realize, as I've said somewhere else also, that there are hundreds of different kinds of methods which might have specific kinds of ethical issues related to them. Everything from doing research with a particle accelerator and working with radioactive material, all the way to interfering to human lives and using animals, and perhaps interfering with information technology and infosphere or information sphere and so forth. Many different kinds of issues might rise relating to those. Now, animals are for most people relevant in the ethical point of view. The use of animals used to be much more free compared to today's situation. Today, the use of animals is controlled by the law and research ethics much more stringently than before. And more the consensus is that animals should be used as little as possible, and always one should choose to use an alternative method if that's a viable option. When inflicting pain, one should minimize the pain and use ways of trying to alleviate the pain if possible. And all this should be viewed against the importance of the study. And when the animals are not used in the research, the well-being of the animals should be taken care of, and the well-being should be sought after by competent caretakers. In Finland there's a specific law that controls the use of animals in research, and that's something that one ought to take into account. Okay, now about humans, I have elsewhere dealt with the consent and what should be taken into account when using humans in research. So I won't be going into that anymore. Just a list of things that need to be taken into account when getting a consent from the subjects. Instead, I will mention the perhaps not so obvious aspect of using subjects. First of all, experiments on nature. We could see a possibility of using nature to gain some important or valuable knowledge. But the issue is whether this is ethical or not. Could we, for example, eradicate living things from an area just for the sake of science, to gaining knowledge? Let's say that we had islands that are close to each other, and we would be interested from the environmental perspective, how does an area recuperate after disaster? Could we, for example, eradicate all living creatures from an island to see how the living creatures take back the living space from the neighboring islands? So could we do something like that? Is that something that we ought to do or not? Or could we create artificial plants and set them free? Could we genetically mutate plants or genetically engineer plants for some reason? Risks and benefits ought to be looked into at the minimum, but perhaps the risk-benefit aspect is not enough, but rather we ought to look more closely into the deep issue of ethics. Does a human being, or does the human race, have the right to meddle with things like these? Or should we somehow let the nature take its own course without the meddling of humans and so forth? So there's a number of deep ethical issues that need to be taken into account, and I think that there are many rational ways of thinking about the ethics of using nature, and it could turn out that there's no consensus to be reached on what's the right of a scientist to use nature. Cultural surroundings. The culture is seen to have a value, but what kind of value? There are cases where it has been found that there are some archaeological treasures that are very interesting from the scientific point of view, but in order to be able to completely study those findings, one would need to halt construction, and one encounters an issue. Is it more important to gain knowledge about some archaeological site, the history of a culture, than it is to provide housing for poor people, for example? And here we encounter dilemmas. That is, on the one hand, one ought to value the knowledge that could be gained. On the other hand, one has to value the quality of lives of living people, and how to how to deal with these sorts of dilemmas is one big problem. Many times there is no clear-cut answers, and some sort of a compromise must be reached. Okay, so here's some issues that might rise when choosing a method and choosing how to do research and what to do research on.